Special Committee on Energy will come to order. It is now 3:04, Thursday, March 17, 2011. It is the 59th day of the legislative session. Again, we are in the Ramona Barnes room here at the Alaska Capitol, which is room 124. Present today are Representative Peterson, Representative Sadler, Representative Tuck, Representative Olson, myself, Representative Pruitt. Excuse today because I believe he's up welcoming all the mushers to under the burled arches would be Co-Chair Representative Foster, so he won't be here. And we will. I have not heard from Representative Lynn, so we'll expect to see him later. With that being said, we have a quorum.
I see remnants.
Yeah, I see remnants of someone there. We have a quorum to conduct business. I would ask everyone to turn off their cell phones or smartphones. You can either turn them off or mute them or whatever. As we experienced in the last committee meeting, if they go off, you owe us donuts. And so the railroad will be paying for donuts in one of my other committee meetings. Don't make that happen to you. Today, we're going to take care of some procedural work with House Bill 39, which is Representative Peterson's, before setting aside. But first, in regards to House Joint Resolution 20, which relates to how the roadless rule in the Tongass and Chugach National Forest affects hydroelectric power generation and distribution in those regions. At the request of the sponsor, which is Representative Johansson, we are not going to take up that measure today, which it was originally scheduled for. We will do it next Tuesday because he is not able to be here today. So look forward to that next week. Now to HB 39. HB 39 requires a utility to have a refund procedure in place when it applies to the Regulatory Commission of Alaska for a new or a revised rate. Let the record reflect that Representative Lynn has joined us. Last we heard, the measure was on February 10th. At the time, Representative Peterson walked us through version D, as in dog. And since then, he has worked with an attorney at the Department of Law, if I understand correctly, has come up with a new version, as in T,
Tango.
Transformers, Tango, something manly there. It's my intent today that we adopt version T and have Representative Peterson tell us what has changed from D to T. Then we plan on holding it so because we do want to hear from the Regulatory Commission of Alaska. We want them to review it and weigh in. And my understanding is for them to do that, they do have to have a meeting, and they have one scheduled already, and this will be coming up again. So next week. So we will make sure that they come back with some conversation there. But to get there, we do need to make sure that we have take some procedural steps. Last month, due to that discussion, Representative Peterson was actually the objection to this version D. So today, if you remove your objection to version D, we can move on.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, and I remove my objection to version D.
Okay, and then with that being said, we need someone to move version T.
Mr. Chairman, so moved.
All right. Since version T is now before the committee, again, before we set it aside so that RCA can have some discussion, we do want Representative Peterson to go ahead and describe the changes in version T, if you would. And I believe also David is going to join. And as you both know the drill, please, when you're speaking, make sure that you state your name as well as your association. And please walk us through these changes.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. My name is David Dunsmore. I'm Chief of Staff to Representative Pete Peterson. And I just wanted to first note for the record that the Regulatory Commission has already scheduled this bill to be considered at their March 23rd meeting, which I believe is next Wednesday. This version does look a bit different from the previous version. We had some great input from Mr. Stuart Gehring from the Department of Law, who gave us some good advice to help meet our goal of really making this a win-win-win, you know, a win for consumers, a win for utilities, and for the regulatory commission as well.
And he's online in case there's any questions for you guys or anyone from the committee. I just wanted to make that clear.
The big change in here is in Section 1, and it changes it from instead of the original version would have required that a refund plan be submitted along with the rate filing. This version would only require that the plan be submitted within 60 days after an interim and refundable rate has been granted by the commission. This would decrease the, you know, this would not have the possibility of a filing being made by a utility that then proves to be unnecessary if there's no interim rates issued. I think the easiest way to do this is I'll just go through the sectional and note where it's different from the previous version. Section 1 is the codified statute portion of the bill. The first subsection E, as I just stated, requires that utility notify the RCA within 60 days of being granted an interim and a refundable rate as to their plan for the refund. They would have there are three possible ways that they would be able to do this. The they could choose a pre-approved procedures that would be determined by the regulatory commission through regulations. They could utilize a plan that the commission has already approved specifically for that utility that would be put in the utility's tariff, or if they felt it was necessary to submit a case-specific refund plan, they would have that option as well. Subsection F requires the commission to adopt the regulations to implement that first subsection. And subsection G requires that the ruling on the refund plan happen with or before the final ruling on the rate case. So this would mean that when there's a ruling on the rate case, there's also a ruling on how the rate is to be refunded. Section 2 is the uncodified implementation provisions. It requires that within 30 days of the effectiveness of Section 2, that the RCA begin the process of adopting the regulations. Sections 3 and 4 are effective date clauses. Section 1 would be effective, and this is a change from the previous version. The effective date for Section 1 is pushed back to July 1st, 2013. That's because we were advised that it would take about 2 years for these regulations to go through the process and be issued, and this would allow by pushing back that effective date, it would not be requiring utilities to be making filings before the RCA pre-approved guidance is adopted through those regulations. And Section 4 is the effective date for Section 2, and that would be immediate to allow the commission to immediately start working on those regulations.
Okay. Any discussion from committee or any questions for Mr. Dunsmore? Representative Tuck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do you mind real quick, Mr. Dunsmore, going through again the three ways that they can do that under the Section 1? Three ways that they can put their plan out there?
Through the Chair, Representative Tuck, the first two ways are pretty similar. There would be the option, the first way would be pre-approved procedures that would be adopted through the regulations issued under this act that would be applicable for all utilities, and these would be set by the RCA. The second procedure would be the utilities could submit specifically for their own utility, have a submit a tariff provision that would be approved, and then they would be able to utilize that for all you know, the refunds for that particular utility. And the third option would be if they felt that a case-specific plan was needed, they could request the commission adopt a plan specifically for that rate case.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. David, just kind of following from what Representative Tuck said, so the second of those options you said is a refund procedure that would be included in a tariff filing. Is there any reason to think that wouldn't probably be the same as the standard procedure? Or are you saying that would give them the opportunity to craft one and include it when they file? You said the first two are rather close.
Yes, through the chair, Representative Sadler. I mean, it would really be up to the individual utilities as to whether they felt that there was particular organizational needs for their particular organization that they would need to have a procedure that was possibly different from the pre-approved procedures. And this just gives the discretion for if a utility believes that to be the case, they would be able to make that request to amend their tariff, and if the commission approved that, they would be able to rely on that procedure.
Well, please follow. So it'd be either the original filing or any amendments to the tariff. Would each have the opportunity to include a refund procedure?
Through the chair, yes. I mean, that I believe that that's correct. They have the opportunity to submit proposed amendments to their tariff, and it would be that would be handled just like any other request to amend their tariff.
One more tiny follow-up, if I may.
Please follow up.
Thanks, Dave. The general pre-approved procedure that would be set by the RCA, that hear you to say that would be for all utilities? There would be kind of a general off-the-shelf procedure that would apply to all, could apply to all utilities?
Yeah. Well, through the chair, Representative Sadler, it would really be up to the commission through their process to define how that would work, but the intent is that there would be procedures available that any utility could use. They might there's the commission might take into account different factors and have perhaps based on the size of the utility, or maybe they would choose think some procedures would be appropriate for electrical utilities, but not, for example, for natural gas. But really the intention is to leave that discretion to the commission with their professional staff and with, certainly we would expect the commission to get input from the utilities and from ratepayers as to how to best do that.
So I know last time there were some concerns by the RCA, I think, as well as several others with, and this might be a question for Stuart, on being able to actually put these in place because they wouldn't be for sure exactly what the situation could come out as, what might trigger the need for a refund. In the case of the NSTAR one, I think they didn't know that was going to come up. Have we resolved some of those questions that initially came up? Is there a comfort level now with some of the individuals who had felt those concerns that this would not be an issue at this point in time?
Oh, well, through the chair, to the chair. Well, I mean, certainly the specific issues would be, I think the commission will, as I said, we'll be discussing this at their next Wednesday meeting, and they might have specific guidance, and the sponsor's here, but I don't necessarily want to put words in his mouth then, but I'm sure it's his intention to, if they have any more feedback, use it. And we have gotten some more feedback from Mr. Gehring on the latest draft with just some drafting issues that, we hope to be able to iron out. But the specific concern about that was raised about the NSTAR case was at the last meeting was a very good point, that since it was done through what's known as the gas cost adjustment process, which does not usually result in an interim rate, that was a very good point that he made, that it might would have been a case that had this been in effect, had the previous version of this bill had been law at the time, it might not have been identified as a case where an interim rate was possible. So with the change to rather than requiring it with the initial filing, but putting it 60 days after the interim rate has been requested, we believe, or after the interim rate has been approved, we believe this solves that problem. As to the specific concerns that might make one refund plan have to be different from another, We believe that that is best addressed through the regulatory process and the regulation process. We think that's a technical issue that the RCA and their professional staff would be better suited to handle. And there is that we believe that the issues that might require a different refund procedure would be fairly objective. Like there, you know, examples, right? Sometimes when, you know, a refund is of a substantially high amount, but the utility doesn't have the available cash, you know, it might be structured over several months or a year or more. We believe that under this authority, the commission would have, in adopting the pre-approved guidelines, would be able to set criteria where if the refund, you know, if the dollar amount to be refunded, you know, was X percent of the available cash on hand, that then they would be able to have in the pre-approved plans, you know, the possibility to structure it differently. And we expect that those would be concerns that the RCA would work out with the utilities through the regulatory process.
Okay. Representative Olson.
I've got a question. I think it's probably for Stuart. Has the RCA opened up a docket on this issue? And if they have, could you tell us the docket number?
Mr. Goring, are you there? I think we're waiting 1 second.
Yes, through the chair, Representative Olson. They had left me on mute.
Oh.
So I apologize for that delay there. No, the RCA has not yet opened a docket on this subject. Obviously that would be something that the statute would require that they do. I would point out, anticipating perhaps your thought, that the commission actually has the authority to require the filing of refund plans at the beginning of a rate case rather than at the end right now. And, of course, it will be something that they might likely discuss at the public meeting on the 23rd, but it's certainly possible, even without a regulations docket, to begin following aspects of this procedure with rate cases that come in the interim. And that might be desirable in order to find out what problems exist with pre-approved refund plans rather than waiting until the end, which has been the traditional practice.
Well, I think we're on the same page, and I think you answered my question. Thanks.
All right. Any other questions from the committee members? All right. Well, thank you, Representative Peterson and Mr. Dunsmore, for taking the opportunity to walk through the changes with us. Today is obviously a short day due to the fact that we did not have the request from the sponsor of the Resolution 20. So with that being said, we will – you can put that down on your list, by the way. We will set this aside, wait for the RCA to review that particular one, and we will hear back from them once they are through. That wraps up today's hearing, and our next meeting will be Tuesday, March 22nd. We will take up the HJR 20, which is the roadless rule. In addition to that, House Energy, the two that were resolutions that were introduced on Wednesday, we'll also discuss those, HJR 23 and HCR 9. We'll make sure that Representative Tuck had an amendment as relating to HCR 23 that we'll make sure that everyone gets, good discussion point for us there. And there is no other business, so we will adjourn at 3:23. All right, have a good afternoon, everyone.